Hi, I'm Chris Harrison. Welcome to this very special edition of The Bachelorette. The man won't shut up! I'm telling you guys, week number 10, here we are again. We're a heartbeat away from the season finale. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Jeffrey Rosato, of course. Chris, did you like that if you're out there listening? I hope so, and try to do you justice anyway. But we are back for our weekly Bachelorette recap here on The Culture of Pop, a.k.a. the DVD Marquee. We're sharing space here. Two shows, one website. It's economical. Obama would love that, wouldn't he? Anyway, but I am joined by my usual suspects, my good friend Dina, my good friends, I should say, Dina and Lisa from Celeb Side Dish and BeautyBroads.com. Ladies, hello once again.
Hi, Jeffrey.
It's nice to, okay, we're working on that harmony. Sounded really good. Kind of like the Andrews sisters a little bit. Joining us today, I thought it would be kind of cool to shake things up a little bit. I like to shake things up. I don't like to travel down the same road week in and week out. And joining us today, rather appropriate, since we had the Men Tell All on Monday night, I want everybody to say hi to my new friend and fellow DVD media guy, Mr. Mike Spring from DVDsnapshot.com. Michael, welcome to the party.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Michael joins us from, I think it's upstate New York, Michael?
Upstate New York, yep, right outside of Albany.
Before we get started, Michael, how did you get into the show? You know, most people, you know, The Bachelorette and The Bachelor are shows pretty much driven toward the female demographic, but speaking for myself, I personally, when the show premiered back around 2003, 2004, I just absolutely loved it. And how did you get into watching it?
Well, I'm married, so I think that's half the reason. My wife started watching the show from the very first season, and it took me a couple of seasons to get into it, but eventually I started to realize that every week I could watch 25 beautiful women on screen, and that didn't really seem like such a bad idea to me. And, you know, I just got hooked. ABC knows how to make a good reality show, and it's very addictive, you know, and sometimes you love the people and sometimes you hate the people, but it's always interesting, without a doubt.
Well, they've seemed to have really been on a roll the last couple of years, last couple of seasons, I should say. Jason Mesnick, I'm still looking forward to seeing his season eventually. I mean, I've heard about it. Matter of fact, we have a girl that was on the show from my hometown of Huntsville, Alabama, Stephanie, whom I'm hoping to have on the show at some point in the not-too-distant future. I wanted to bring Mike into the mix here this week because we had a very, very interesting 2 hours. And I must say, in my opinion, I think I'm the only person in the country that was kind of bored by this episode. I must not be a typical guy. I'm not into this, quote, man code, unquote thing. And it just, Dina and Lisa, I'm going to throw the ball in your court here. You guys were having a great time with this, talking about it on Twitter, during the show and everything. And in a nutshell, what about this particular episode that worked for you?
I just loved, on our show, we subtitle our Bachelorette chat as Tool Time because it's a whole bunch of tools. And I think they just kind of fulfilled the title of our show, because I have never seen such a bunch of immature, catty. I mean, guys have the gall to call women catty, and that's the cattiest group of people I've ever seen. I've watched Bachelor, previous Bachelor seasons, where they have the females who come back and the women tell all, and they're usually pretty polite to each other, and I've just never seen such a bunch of tools in one place, and I just loved it. I mean, it was like watching a train wreck. So, you know, and I think, Jeffrey, your issue is as long as Jillian's not on the screen, you really aren't interested.
Damn right. I mean, she was in this thing for, like, maybe 30 minutes or so. It was a good 30 minutes. Okay, let me get my wardrobe compliment number one out of the way. Love that nice little dark blue dress that she had on talking to Christopher and everything like that. And it was just fascinating. She was the best part of this show to me. I think, really, out of these guys, I'm trying to pick some names here of people that impressed me. And Michael, we all dissed on Michael for being so damn hyper and spastic and everything like that. But Michael is a class act compared to most of these guys. What do you think? Michael, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I thought he represented pretty well for himself. Definitely throughout the season, he came across a little hyper. You know, but I thought in the Men Tell All special, he came across as one of the more polite and intelligent, you know, guys, which there weren't too many of in that episode, that's for sure.
I think he was raised right. I mean, this kid has manners. He's a gentleman. He took his rejection oh so well. You know, Dina, Lisa, you and I were talking about that a few weeks ago. But anybody else from this group that didn't come off as a bunch of nincompoops?
I thought Jesse carried himself pretty well. He did have a few outbursts of anger, but and I think Juan was kind of a sympathetic character. I don't know what everyone's issue is with Juan. I mean, but they were all kind of turning against him, and I think it made the audience uncomfortable, didn't you, Lisa?
Yeah, I agree, but I'm like you. I never really saw anything negative about Juan. I don't know where that all started.
Yeah, I mean, so he doesn't want to drink. Why does that make them feel like he's going to have an advantage over them or shows them their weakness?
Well, I thought that was neat when Chris Harrison said, who cares?
Yeah, who cares if he drinks or not?
Juan has always been one of the cooler guys to me compared to people like Crazy Dave, as we've called him all these weeks on the show here. And, oh gosh, who else is, well, Wes, of course, who didn't bother to show what was up with that. We'll have to talk about that a little bit later on if we can remember. But I got to tell you guys, I'm still not a big fan of David, even though you girls like the beard.
Dave is hot. He's a psycho in a nice package, and
he is nice to look at.
That's our quote of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Psycho in a nice package. Film at 11. Anyway, go ahead.
No, that's Dina.
We have, you know, I have two guys here to talk to, so it's a nice opportunity to ask you, have you not ignored the fact that girls have been psycho in the past, just based on the fact what they look like? I mean, have you thought, I can work through this psycho thing at least for a little while?
Well, we're kind of left speechless here. The men are left speechless here. My
you know God. You have. You know you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably once or twice, yeah.
Once or twice? Anyway. But I got to tell you, when they reran that clip of David just drunk as a skunk and just, oh, you could just tell Jillian's comfort level from the get-go. It was embarrassing. And again, I think we've talked about this on the show in recent weeks. I don't care if you sign a release or whatever. You've got to be damn careful about what you do on camera because it's going to be manipulated and used for the benefit of the storyline. So it just makes me, I'll tell you, that said, Ed got a little tipsy in one of the outtakes that we showed this week, or that they showed this week, but it's all how you handle it. I think even though Ed was just a little, you know, off gravity center and everything, he was still Ed. He was a gentleman. He was cool. He was, I don't doubt that I would have picked Jillian up and just went, you know, nice dress, yeah, you know. But I would have done it in a way where I wasn't being offensive or anything. Does that make sense to you guys?
Absolutely.
I think Ed's a happy drunk.
Yeah, he was a cute drunk.
He was adorable.
I also have something to do with why Juan maybe chose not to drink, because we get to see what some of the guys look like when they've been drinking, such as Ed and Dave, and it wasn't pretty, you know? And maybe Juan just knows, hey, I don't want to embarrass myself on camera, so I'm going to choose not to get drunk and look like an idiot on national television.
Exactly. There you go. Exactly. Trista Sutter made a terrific point on her blog this week. She said, you know, it's okay if you want to go ahead and do the guy thing, but just isn't it so college age level? I mean, you're on a TV show to win a woman's heart. That's the objective and everything like that. And it's not to say we don't want you to have fun and cut up when you guys aren't, you know, in the center range. But come on, have a little bit of dignity. Not just for yourself, but for her as well.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, somebody, and I was trying to look at my notes here and see if I could remember who, he was in the back row, I'm not sure who it was, made the comment that we're all jocks and one isn't, so he really doesn't fit in. And that's, I think maybe that sums it up. These guys all have a jock mentality and one comes from a different place, so he just didn't join in on the frat games, I guess, which I respect.
I think that was Sasha.
I think you're right, it was Sasha.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about some of the other highlights of the show this week, or lowlights, as I like to say. The man code thing, and Michael, help me out here. What is this man code thing that I've heard so much about? And to me, it's just like, you know, gosh, you know, burn the damn thing. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah, we're dying to know what this is. Tell us, please.
I think the man code is an excuse for guys to act like jerks, personally. I don't adhere to a man code, you know. I thought Chris Harrison made a good point. I think the man code should be respecting women and treating them well, not,
amen,
you know, drinking and getting drunk and butting heads. And I think, you know, I think that was David's thing, and I think there's a certain type of guy out there who adheres to the man code. And they, you know, there's these guys that read Maxim magazine and get drunk every night, and, you know, it's just a, I don't know, it's a frat boy mentality, is exactly what you guys said, and I don't personally have a lot of respect for it either, so.
Charles, what's your thoughts on this? I mean, from the woman's perspective, because like Chris said, he was picking up the vibe, you know, he's a good old Texas boy, you know, fellow Southern gentleman as well. What were you picking up about this man code thing, ladies?
That Dave's an idiot.
Enough said. I don't know if there's anything else we can add.
It's like Michael said, it's an excuse to not tell on each other, to protect each other if somebody's cheating. You know, it's kind of like the wingman mentality kind of thing, I think. So, yeah, and it's just an excuse to be a jerk.
David makes Wes's sins look semi-forgivable because I was just rewatching. I hate to pick on the guy. I'm sure he's a nice guy off camera, at least I hope he is, but it's just, you know, talk about, you know, he became the whipping boy. Everybody thought that it was going to be, you know, Wes, you know, let's string him up for what he did, you know. But he makes Wes look like an idiot, a fellow idiot, but an idiot in a different way, you know.
Well, you mentioned that you listened to the interview with Wes, which I thought was very eye-opening, and I felt a little sympathetic toward him after I listened to it, but obviously the audience there did not listen to it because anytime his name is mentioned, there was like a chorus of boos. I mean, the women in the audience were just amazing. I think they would have torn him apart if he had shown up.
You know, and I wonder, I hope Wes is not in a heap of trouble for not showing up, and I don't think, the final shot of this Monday's episode puts an end to the rumors that, Wes was going to get, you know, come to his senses and come back. You know, we all know it's Reed, you know, sorry for the spoiler for those of you that didn't pay attention to the show, but that's what you get for not watching the show. So, anyway, let's talk about everybody's favorite Tom Cruise look-alike. We're talking about good old Jake. Michael, Dina, Lisa, your opinions changed about Jake this week? I mean, Michael, you know, this is your first time on the show here. Give us your thoughts on Jake. And do you think he's got a little Tom Cruise thing going on?
Well, I know my wife certainly doesn't think he's hard to look at. So maybe a little bit of the Tom Cruise thing. But, I like Jake personally. I thought he seemed like a very good guy. I think he seemed very genuine. And I think that when you're in an environment surrounded by 20 other man code people who adhere to that, when you're a nice guy, you get called out for that, and it gets blown out of proportion. And I kept, you know, the thing that I think frustrated me during the recap episodes when they showed clips of Jake throughout the season was they must have used the word perfect like 20 times, and that's got to get frustrating for him, because I know he knows he's not perfect, and I don't think anybody else thinks he's perfect, but he kind of got saddled with this Mr. Perfect tag, which I think is frustrating for anybody. I mean, he seemed like a pretty nice guy to me. And I liked him because he never acted like a jerk. So, you know, that's my take on Jake.
I agree with Michael totally. And I think that Jake stole the hearts of most of the women in the audience. You know, I think any time his name was mentioned or any time that he spoke, you know, everybody was there to listen to him and rooting for him.
They looked so dreamy-eyed every time they showed up in the audience. I didn't fall for the Jake thing, even from the beginning. Lisa chose Jake. We each picked our top three from the first episode just to see how we kind of are competitive and do that.
Dina chose a bunch of losers.
But Lisa, I chose, Sasha. Yeah, never mind. But I had Ed and Kipton are still in there, and those were our choices. And Jake, to me, was intense from the first episode. I could see an intensity, a competitiveness. And I think the criticism with Jake from the other guys is that he was going to love this woman and take care of her before he ever met her. And that came across as insincere to these other guys. It's more like a competition for Jake. He wants to win. So to me, I didn't feel sincerity. Maybe now he truly has feelings for her, but I feel like he just doesn't like to fail at anything he does.
He cried.
Yeah, he pretended to cry.
Yeah, I still think he did that little for the benefit of the cameras and had a Jason Mesden.
Probably so.
I wonder if we'll ever know, but, you know, last week, or I think it was 2 weeks ago, whenever, we talked about this show possibly being the event where they would announce the next Bachelor, and it appears that things are still in development. And guys, let me throw this at you. If it were me, if things don't work out on Monday night, I would like Reed to be the next Bachelor. But a lot of people, the consensus of you guys, I'm not sure what Michael thinks, but a lot of the women around the country would certainly not be disappointed if it's Jake.
I think Jake's got a good shot at it. I think ABC is probably going to pursue him. He's well liked by most people. He's a good looking guy. I think he's very easy on camera. I think Reed. A lot of people like Reed for Jillian, but I don't know how many people like Reed enough to watch him go through a whole season of The Bachelor. He seems a little quirky, and I like him. I thought he was a good guy, but I don't know that he's quite what they're looking for a full season of The Bachelor. I don't know.
Yeah, Mike, that's very good. You're thinking TV like me. You know, both you and I yep, have similar yep. backgrounds. But Dina and Lisa, let's throw the ball in your court. What do you think about Jake as the next Bachelor? Or would you pitch somebody, let's say Juan or possibly Reed if he doesn't get lucky next Monday or Tuesday?
I think Jake, like Michael says, Jake would be willing to do what you have to do to make a good show. He's very outgoing. He would understand the game. He speaks well. He's very aggressive. And I think Reed may be like, I'm not going to do that. Or he would just, there would be no passion. There would be really nothing exciting to watch. But Lisa and I really have a need for Reed. We're both in love with Reed now. So I would just watch a show, just watching Reed go about his day, I think. Wouldn't you, Lisa?
Yeah, but can you just imagine if David was chosen? That would be a whole new show.
That would be a spinoff show.
Yeah. Somebody would go to emergency and somebody would go to jail, that's for sure.
They'd probably have to move it to someplace like E or something like that where they could get away with all that stuff. So anyway, you know, yeah. a ton of bleeps, you know. Like
yeah, so say it would have to be rated differently.
You know, we did a little informal poll on our Twitter page, and the majority of the people said someone new, someone fresh. And if not, we have to choose, we choose Jake. But I thought that was interesting that, you know, you think ABC would think we need to carry on this saga. People already know one of these characters. But apparently they're over these guys after the Men Tell All episode.
That's very interesting. You know, for me personally, I think that Jake would be excellent. Like Jillian, he knows the game. He knows what it takes to make a good TV show. He's very outgoing. He's very well-spoken and everything. And I hope he gets a crack at it. I really do. But guys, let's talk a little bit more about the rest of the show. Any particular highlights that stood out to you? I think we've covered most of the major highlights and everything. You know, we had Jake in the hot seat. We had David in the hot seat. And we've talked enough about them, enough press for them. Anything else that stood out in your mind? Girls, we'll throw it to you right quick as far as your thoughts on this episode, which I thought was mainly filler.
I thought a very touching moment in the midst of all the chaos was when Jillian came out to face the men again, to see how they looked at her, how they reacted to her. I was like, I'm kind of obsessive, as you know, and I go online and I pause to see who looks all dreamy-eyed when they looked at her when she came out. And Jesse looked very still into her. And then when Michael, I think Michael is still in love with her, don't you, Lisa?
Yeah, I think so.
Thought that was a very sweet moment, and I totally misread Michael. I thought he was just an immature kind of frat guy, but he really isn't. And here's the thought. What if we had Michael and his twin Steve as the next Bachelors, and they may fall in love with the same girl? They've still got the 20 girls or 30 girls. They pair off and see who they like. You know, not a bunch of twin girls, just single girls, and see if they choose brother over love. And I would watch that.
Are you listening, ABC? That's a very good idea, Dina. Very
Thank
impressive.
You.
I like that. I like that. Michael, your thoughts? Anything that stood out to you? Anything that you agree with or disagree with the girls on?
No, I thought Michael represented well. I have to admit, I did find it very amusing. I forget who it was who coined the phrase "pulling a Mesnick," which is when you lean over the railing and cry. I think that could easily enter the cultural lexicon as, you know, a phrase that could be used pretty regularly. And I also really enjoy the outtakes. I think those are very a highlight of the season for me every season, because you just get a chance to kind of see people being themselves a little more, you know, than when they're all talking to the camera and trying to put on their best face, you know. So those are just always fun to get to see some people being a little more relaxed than usual.
Me too. I thought this was one of the better blooper reels I'd seen for any TV show in a long, long time, especially Jillian trying to say hotter and hotter, and it turned out to be hotter and harder, you know. And she did it not once, but twice, and then she says, I'm just going to go ahead and say something else, you know. And I have an old friend of mine that came up with a great saying, and it really applies to that, the hotter and harder. That wasn't a Freudian slip. That was a Freudian nightgown. I'll put it that way.
There was obviously a lot of flatulence.
Yes. Can you guys not hold it in?
Was that Chris Harrison where he said, pull my finger?
Yeah, is that in the man code, Michael? I'm sure they were horrified when they saw that they actually showed those clips.
Well, you know, Michael, back to the maturity level of Michael, he left the camera and went off camera and then came back and said, I think that followed me.
That was awesome. That was one of the funniest things I've seen this year. But we're getting down to, you know, the biggie, the big season finale, the season-changing finale. And at this point, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week with the girls. Michael, who do you think's going to walk away with Jilly's hand, or like Dina and Lisa have been speculating, or actually it's Dina that's been speculating this, if I'm not mistaken, she ends up alone. Michael, what do you think?
I think ultimately she ends up alone. Maybe she picks someone at the end of the episode. I think if she's going to pick one of the two, I think it's going to be Ed. But the vibe that I've gotten, even from talking to her on the Mental All special, I don't think she's with either of them at this point. So if she picked one of the two of them, I think it would be Ed, but I don't think it lasted. I think she's probably single right now.
What about Reed fitting into the picture?
That's a possibility, I guess. You know, I mean, if he, I don't know, that would be pretty crazy. That would top last season if he came back and she actually picked him over the other two guys. But it's a possibility, but I don't know. I don't know if she's going to end up with anybody from the show.
And for the benefit of people that may be joining us for the first time, Dina, could you tell us your perspective on how you are speculating that Jillian is a single woman and how I might still have a chance?
Well, like I say, I analyze every little thing and I try to read between the lines and think, what does she mean by this? What does she mean by that? She keeps using the phrase in different interviews I've seen where she says, it all ended up for the best and I'm in a good place. To me, that's what you say when you're alone. You know, you might say, I'm really happy and I'm giddy and I'm, I mean, I think in the past even bachelors and bachelorettes have said, yes, I'm in love. On shows, talk shows, before the season was over. She's never said that. She's just said, I'm in a good place, and it worked out for the best. So that's the conclusion I'm coming to.
Lisa, what's the picture in your mind as we start to wrap this up?
I don't think she's alone. I think she's with Reed, and the good place is Philadelphia.
You never know. I mean, it's a distinct possibility. I have not been shy in expressing my opinion on Reed. I think he's just one of the coolest guys I've ever seen on a show like this in a long, long time. He's very down to earth. Lisa, Dina, you know, we all talked about how great his family was and the chemistry was there with Jilly and the family. And I just, the only thing I can see happening, I mean, it would be one of the greatest moments in reality TV history, or so-called reality, or pseudo-reality, as I like to call it, if he just comes in and pours his heart out, and maybe she won't accept right away. But I'm thinking, if these two can date, kind of get a feel for each other's hometowns, you know, Canada, Philadelphia, and all that, you know, it would not surprise me at all. It would break my heart, to be honest, because, you know, I have such a big, you know, huge crush on Jillian. But like I said a few weeks ago, as long as a girl winds up with a guy that I respect and like, I'd say more power to him. So I am so rooting for him. But that said, that's a heck of a lot to put on a woman when she's already got the final two down and then somebody comes in out of the woodworks. Image. How do you react like that? I mean, girls, if you were in Jilly's shoes, what would be your thoughts?
Go ahead, Lisa. I know what you're going to say.
I don't know. I know, you know, it shows in the previews her standing there in her white wedding dress.
Oh, yes. Just in case. I mean, I'm sorry.
It looks like she sees Reed, which is what I'm assuming, and, you know, her hand goes to her heart. Mm-hmm. That told me all I needed to know.
We think, I mean, obviously the ABC wants us to think Reed comes back and proposes, but all they do is show him holding that ring and study it. And maybe he just runs off. Maybe he doesn't really show up at all. They never actually said he did. Maybe that was an old shot. I think they have shots of them all holding a ring and studying it. If they do that, I think that's really wrong. I mean, that's cheating as far
it's
as
sneaky.
It's sneaky, and I probably wouldn't watch again, but I'm not sure he'll follow through with that proposal. But if you're asking if we were Jillian and we had Ed Kipton and Reed proposed to us, I'd have to go with Reed.
Reed well, all the way.
Good for you. I'm in that same camp. But next week, we got the big finale. We've got actually two shows next week. We have the big season-ending finale, which is going to be Monday night on ABC at, as usual, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, followed by the wonderful Dating in the Dark. It's one of the worst shows I think I've ever seen. I just took a look at it for 5 minutes, and you want to know what, guys? It looks like a bad collaboration between Mark Burnett of Survivor and Fellini, the film director. I mean, it's that.
I didn't see it. I was curious, but I made myself not watch it. So.
It won the time slot, I can tell you that.
I
missed Jillian Harris and Chris Harrison already. I'll put it that way. But also, we've got, after the big finale, whether she winds up alone or with Reed or Ed or Kipton, we've got After the Final Rose. And for everybody out there, keep in mind that's going to be at a very special time, a lot later than usual. After the Final Rose, The Bachelorette, it's going to be Tuesday night at 10 Eastern and 9 Central. Should be something to watch. And I think Jillian's also going to be on Regis and Kelly either Tuesday or Wednesday. So keep that in mind as well. And before we part company, Dina and Lisa, you've done the plugging for so many weeks. I want to turn the floor over to Mike Spring here. And Mike, in about a minute or so, tell us about DVD Snapshot and that website and how people can look you up.
All right. Well, DVDSnapshot.com. It's pretty easy to find on the website, and we pretty much cover everything DVD and Blu-ray related. So we've got DVD reviews, Blu-ray reviews. We've got news on upcoming releases. We have some giveaways. You want to try and win some free DVDs. We do some interviews with actors. Recently, we've interviewed Gary Cole, Jared Padalecki from Supernatural, a couple of different people. So we got a little bit of everything there for you. So it's DVDSnapshot.com. Take a look.
It will definitely be looking you up. I've looked it up already. Great site. And Mike is going to be joining me on future editions of the DVD Marquee when we have special shows. I'm sure that you and I will be talking around holiday season with all the good stuff coming out and everything. And we'll probably hit you up around Oscar time, along with my good buddies like Wade Major and Mark Kaiser from the Los Angeles Film Critics Association. And that's for the DVD Marquee, folks. Right now, like I said earlier, we're hosting two shows on the website right now. The Culture of Pop is going to be on a website of its own very, very soon, so look out for that. But the DVD Marquee is mainly home to a show in which I talked about the latest DVD releases and other wonderful movie stuff every week, and you can reach us at www.thedvdmarquee.com. And last but certainly not least, Lisa, once again, for all the folks that may be listening for the first time, tell us about beautybroads.com.
I'm going to let Dina do that. She's better. She says it
well,
all.
Actually, I meant Dina. It's a, that's what I can't thought. Tell you guys apart. You like the Patty Duke show. You like the old Patty Duke show. Dina, my apologies. Dina, you have the
name of
my lady.
Thank you. The name of our website is www.beautybroads.com, and you can find beauty product reviews there. We're four different women from four different age groups, and we try the same products and give our opinions of whether or not they're good for our particular age group. We have discounts on beauty products, special codes you can put in on websites to get discounts. And we do our podcast on there too is supposed to be related to celebrity beauty that Lisa and I do, beauty and style, but mostly we just gossip. We've kind of strayed from that theme, but we're still, you can find us at the top of the homepage there by clicking on our faces. And Jeffrey, let me say too, while I had the floor, that I think there is hope for you and Jillian. You just need to show up at her door in some little green shorts and a big old pepperoni pizza.
Yeah, that's right. Pepperoni. Oh, gosh. That pepperoni moment may have been the greatest thing I've seen since Meg Ryan and When Harry Met Sally. I'm going to be having that on auto repeat all damn day. Michael, thank you so much. Mike Spring from DVDSnapshot.com. Thank you so much for sitting in with us, sir.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, can't wait to have you back, and we'll talk movies and we'll talk guy stuff, but probably not with the man code stuff.
Not with the man code, definitely.
I look forward to it. That's not going
there.
Anyway, girls, Dina and Lisa, I will see you next, or I will talk to you next week. Boy, we're going to have a heck of a lot to talk about. Girls, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Jeffrey.
I appreciate it. Lisa, have a good week.
Thank you. You do the same.
Thank you. And you guys out there listening, thank you as always for listening to The Culture of Pop. Also, the DVD Marquee just got a brand new episode up, episode 81, in which I talk about Clint Eastwood's Gran Torino, great film. Also, Friday the 13th, the shortest review of the rebooted Friday the 13th, the 2009 version that you will ever hear. And I will also shower praise on one of my favorite films of all time, the Oscar-winning 1970 documentary about Woodstock, celebrating its 40th anniversary in just a matter of weeks. So do you check that out? It's all happening. Sound like I'm an almost famous. And at www.thedvdmarquee.com. For Red Abstract Incorporated, I'm Jeffrey Rosato for The Culture of Pop. And until we meet again, amigos, and as usual, Jilly, call me. I'll give you a ring, but not that kind of ring. I need to get to know you a little bit better first. Bye.
One hair for me, not if you care for me. Stay, little Valentine. Stay, each day Valentine's Day.